Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, popping in before today's episode to let you know that next week on Wednesday, June 3rd at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Samantha Irby and I will be live on Zoom for the first G-Thanks No Bra book club meeting. We'll be talking about her book, Wow No Thank You, taking your questions and more. Please show up in your pajamas and look like a mess because we certainly plan to. For the Zoom link and event password, visit gthanksjustbought.it.com. You will not be able to get into the event without it. See you there. Welcome back for another episode of G-Thanks Just Bought It, the podcast where we talk about what we just bought and what you might need to buy next. I am your host, Caroline Moss, and you know today's guest. It's Nora McInerney, a.k.a. Nora Borealis. She's an author, and her latest book, Bad Moms, is based on the movie of the same name, which I didn't know you could do, and now I have a lot of ideas. She's a creator. Yes. It's like, we're going to get into it, because I have a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. She's a creator. She's a hot widow with a sense of humor, and she's host of the podcast Terrible Thanks for Asking. Her website puts most creator websites to shame. Nora, welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I'm so happy you're here.
This is a true delight. Listeners, we already talked for 20 minutes.
We've already talked for 20 minutes.
About what? None of your beeswax.
That should have been for like, I should have recorded that and like made a Patreon. That's just one episode of like whatever conversation we just had. Because that'll be one that history will want to keep for the future.
I would just call like the Library of Congress right now and be like, we have got a conversation for you.
Clear the space. Take out all of Trump's tweets. Replace with this.
Our grandchildren need to know. They need to know.
I'm so happy you're here. I'm so
excited.
Me too. I can't even believe you can write a book about a movie. That blows my damn mind.
I was not aware of this. And I also always, because all the books that I've written before Bad Moms were nonfiction and also sad nonfiction because my life has some sadness in it. Like you said, I am a widow and my first book was called It's Okay to Laugh. Crying is cool too because.
Because it is.
And I was not. I always considered myself like too dumb to write fiction. Like, oh, you have to make up a whole world. You have to lie for over 200 pages. Are you kidding me? You have to make up things people said and did, then connect all. I can barely connect the dots in my real life versus making up dots to connect. But I was always fascinated. I mean, I love fiction. And I think specifically because I write typically nonfiction, I read fiction. Because otherwise I always feel like I might get too influenced by, I don't read anything that's similar to me for that reason.
Because
I don't
want to.
I'm impressionable. And that was very evident in the first draft of It's Okay to Laugh, where I was like, am I David Sedaris? No, you are not. You are Nora McInerney. No one knows who you are. Take a seat. So somehow, the way this book came about, I watched Bad Moms while I was pregnant with the child we call baby. He's almost four. And I laughed so hard. So I felt something. I was like, this can't be good. Next day, had the baby, full eye.
I was going to say UTI.
Straight up in labor. Okay. That movie put me into labor. I went to bed that night feeling like, oh, I know what this is. Like, I feel sick. I know what this is. I'm about to have a goddamn baby, which I should have known because I was at that.
Yeah, there can only be like, so many things.
I've got other stuff to do. I can't have this baby.
I have a lot of plans. My calendar is very full.
My calendar is so full. I went to like a furniture outlet in Minneapolis the next day. I was like, I am getting a bookshelf. I cannot have a baby if I do not have a bookshelf. Anyway, so I watched the movie. That's kind of it. somehow the guys who wrote the movie, and they also wrote like The Hangover, they're responsible for like a lot of very, very funny things. Somehow I think that they read my book. It was the studio's idea to turn the movie into a book. Uh-huh. And they asked me to do it, which I was like, No, I definitely know how to do it.
Were you in labor while they asked, though? That, like, I want, if
no, it was like a full year. Sorry, it was like a full year.
No. But I'm saying, fictional retelling, I want in the fictional retelling of you writing Bad Moms, I want you to be on the table, legs in the stirrups,
taking a call.
Yes,
which I did. I was legs in the stirrups, making a call to American Public Media, saying, "Oh, so sorry, I'm having a baby right now, but don't worry, I'll be in on Tuesday." The fuck. Being a woman is so
have it all.
It's so fucked. You can have it all. Like, and that's, I try to be as honest as possible about like the experiences I have, which are many things at once, which are like luck and grace and fantastic things happening, and also like deep anxiety and sorrow, and me trying to just, I don't know, like work myself down to a nub so that nobody knows that I'm an actual human. Cause you know, if I show a weakness, then I don't know, it'll all come tumbling down. But my expectations for working with men, because I've worked with so few in my life, truly, the first few jobs I had out of college, I worked with all women. And then the first job I had with men, I was fucking sexually harassed every day.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that those words, you know, I mean, I didn't know to categorize it that way. I was like, oh, this guy's just like deeply obsessed with me and working here is hell. Because everybody is asking if I'm sleeping with him, which obviously I'm not. He was, I've banged plenty of gross guys, but not this one.
Yeah. Right.
Right. So like my expectation of working with men is low. Like, mm-hmm. I just expect them to be terrible. And then if they're like not, I'm like, oh, that was fine. But these guys, Scott and John, who wrote, John Lucas and Scott Moore, who wrote the movie, they were the most creatively generous, kind, fantastic collaborators I've ever worked with. It was a damn joy.
That's crazy.
At first, I think the standard deal for something like this is basically like I would ghostwrite it and their names would be on it. And I was prepared for that. I was like, great, yeah. Who cares? I'm going to have fun. I get to do something that's
right.
Just fun. That's not picking my own scabs, that I just get to like make something funny, mm-hmm. based on this hilarious world that already exists. And instead, like right away, Scott was like, no, like put Nora's name at the top, make it the biggest, give her the money. Like,
oh my God, an ally.
Conversations like this do not happen as a writer.
They don't.
People are like, how can we get as much as possible out of this person and maybe never pay them? And and like this is a dude who was like, you know, oh, like, you know, if this money doesn't come through for you in time, like I'll write you a check. Like just,
but, wow.
Like just amazing. And was so generous with like teaching me about, you know, how fictional storytelling works, mm-hmm. and plot and pacing, and really gave me like full freedom to take these characters, which, you know, in 100-minute long comedy, you know, you gotta make it funny, gotta make it snappy, but like I got to make up all their interior lives, and I got to make up their pasts, and mm-hmm. you know, like, and that was so wonderful. And they just taught me so much too about like not just like being funny, but like setting up funny situations too.
Yeah. That is really cool.
It was such a cool experience, mm-hmm. and just absolutely not what I expected it to be. So if you have not seen the movie, you should still read the book first. That's the point.
Right.
Always read the book first.
Yeah.
Read the book first. Now that I've done this, I'm like, this is a genre that should exist. Think about every movie that you like where you're like, but what led them to that point?
Oh, yeah.
I want a book of Sweet Home Alabama. I want a...
Well, no. Okay. I mean, when I was like, when... So, okay. So when I'm like... When I'm like, oh, you know, putting together your bio to read, and I'm like, oh, Bad Moms. I can't believe Bad Moms was a book first. That's really crazy. And then it's like, no, like the whole point was it was not a book first. And I was like, oh my God,
first.
I'm going to sit down and rewrite every movie I've ever seen
into a book.
Fucking genius. And I already have the people in my head. Like, you know, every time I sit down and write fiction, I find writing nonfiction really difficult because you have to tell the truth and like you have to like I don't fact check, and I'm not, I don't really have the time. So like, I really like to lie. You know what I mean? Like, let's just lie. Like, who, you can't tell me that my fake character didn't go to Brown. F you. But it's hard because what you like to get a full picture, you really need to have someone's face. And I feel like when you, when you probably, I don't know. I mean, if this was your strategy or whatever, but like having, you know, Kristen Bell's face and Mila Kunis's face like in your head already,
Catherine Hahn's voice in my head already,
like knowing kind of like their, how they move in the world, makes it so much easier to sort of like backfill, you know, all of that information. I'm a huge Bad Moms Christmas fan.
Yeah,
that is one of my favorites.
Yeah,
I think it's so funny, and I'm not even a mom, and I'm like, oh my god, I totally get it. Like, it's crazy, but like it's so funny. Like, it's so like, I hate being like, it's funny because it's true, but like, it's funny because it's true. It's good. I love it. And no, I mean, I think that is so cool. And what a cool experience to work with men who really walk the walk of, you know, like elevating women in a space that's usually theirs. And like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Like, that usually would be like a ghostwritten deal, and mm-hmm. you'd get like a very kind of, you know, like exciting amount of money, but like nothing like to write home about. Like, it's not going to like quit all your jobs, like stop taking
right.
it. You know what I mean?
I think that's also like, I think there's so, it's so confused. Money is so confusing, mm-hmm. and there's such a, when you get paid for a book, you get paid in like chunks.
Yes.
And so it does feel like, oh my God, I got a huge check, because there's a comma in it.
Yep.
And
no matter where the comma is too, feels big.
Feels big.
Feels big.
You're like, whoa, digits. And that represents several months of work where you did not have a check.
Yeah. If you guys don't know, it's literally like they tell you, it's like they bait and switch you, because they tell you how much they're going to pay you, and then they make you do the work before they give you the money, which is rude. Like,
yeah.
I had the idea, just pay me all of it now. So it basically separates into like, okay, so, you know, you sold the idea, you get X amount of dollars. And then when you give us the actual book, then we'll like, you know,
X
then we'll
dollars.
Release X amount of dollars. And then when the book actually comes out, X amount of dollars. So you're like, oh my God, like,
aww.
This sucks.
Yeah.
I have to work for my money? Rude. And
well, and because it's like,
and then you also have to pay other people.
Of money.
Yeah.
You have to pay other people. You have to pay other people. You have to take your taxes out.
Oh,
you have to, if you're an author, you end up like, you know, they recommend like, oh, you hire your own PR and marketing person, and it's a lot, but,
yes.
And I'm not saying like, oh, like, I didn't get enough money. No, it's just, it reminded me of like, Every book deal has reminded me of the first full-time job I got, where I was like, oh my God, $30,000.
I was literally just going to say how, like, when I was literally just going to say, it reminds me of my first full-time job where I got paid $35,000 a year. And I called my parents and I was like, I am rich, you guys. Like, and I was living in New York City. So this isn't like $35,000 a year in a place where you can actually like afford a sandwich.
No.
And my parents were like, you're not rich. Like, and then I got my first paycheck and it was like, I don't know, $922. And I was like, excuse me, what?
I mean, it's 30,000 is what I was promised.
Yeah. So like, I'm just seeing like a little bit of a like discrepancy on the paycheck. Like, yeah, no, that's exactly what it is, because over time, and then you have to pay into Social Security and like your health care and your whatever. But yeah. So like making, I mean, when Hey Ladies came out or got sold as a book, it was like very much like, you this misconception beforehand that you're like, this is it, I'm a full-time author now, and like I live off my work. And that's really only true for like Elizabeth Gilbert and like
Glennon Doyle,
Brené
Brown, Michael Crichton,
Oprah other
yeah.
and that doesn't represent the rest of us who are like, no, I still need a job. And
yeah, well, because also whatever that number is spread out over possibly 2 years between when you sign and when it comes out, and you're like and then you spend like every other week being like, should I text my agent and see just when that money is coming, even though I know
oh, yeah,
I,
yeah.
it's like It's like, Nora, it's in your calendar. You know the exact day it's coming.
My agent gets a lot of emails from me being like, just like following up on the like money. And she's like, we literally have had this conversation before several times. Caroline, it's 2 a.m. Please stop calling. It's really true. But, you know, nothing. I was going to say, but, you know, you can't put a price on the unbridled joy of writing a book, which is not that much fun unless you really love writing. I had this conversation with Ellen Hildebrand last week, who's like just a powerhouse. Two books a year.
Holy crap.
She's amazing. I love her. One of my favorite things about her is that her first seven books totally bombed, and then her but they're amazing books. It has so much to do with marketing and getting in front of people. And like, you can have a great book, but like, if you don't have that $500,000 $1 million marketing budget to get like a Subway poster of it, or you know, Oprah's book club or Reese's book club, it sort of, you know, it sails by. And I was saying to her, I was like, you know, I love that beginning part when you sell the book and then you get to like tweet about it and everyone thinks you're amazing. And I love the end part when you get to hold the book in your hand, but it's the writing part that really throws me for a loop. Did you like writing fiction? Did it surprise you?
Oh my God. It was I looked forward to every single day. I'm writing a book, I have like a very, very structured day because I also have a job too.
Yep.
Like, which is, again, like I just like I don't want to sound like I don't want to ever sound ungrateful because I am so grateful for this, but I also want to be realistic because I do think sometimes where people are like, how do you do all this stuff? Well, it is the only way that I can make money.
Yes,
having burned every bridge in the professional world, I'm stuck out here, having all the things I've said about working in advertising. There's no road back to that for me. There's no road back to like a 401k.
Right.
So there's a few things, which is I live a very structured life if I'm on a deadline. So when I was writing this book, I also was still making, you know, 35 episodes a year of Terrible Thanks for Asking, which is like a scripted, edited, soundtracked podcast. And it just takes a lot of work to make it. So I'd wake up really, really early. I would go to the gym right away. I would come back. My kids would already be at school because that's my husband's job. And then I would sit down and I would just work on Bad Moms for like 2.5 hours. And I would just get to sit in that world. I wouldn't check my email. I wouldn't check social media. And I got to just live in that world. And it was so fun. It was so fun because all of the other work that I do is like, does put me in the path of other people's pain and my own pain. Yeah. And I love that. I'm grateful for that. And also there is a reason why outside of that work, I only read and watch and listen to funny things.
Yeah. You know? Life is sad enough.
Yeah. Life is sad enough. And that I also like my career is sad enough.
Yeah.
So it was like, it was a really nice break. Someone described it as a pivot and I was like, no, this is who I am. I am all of these things.
Right. Being like, multifaceted. And I think when your spouse dies and you become, I mean, I say this as someone who has not experienced this, but just someone who's been following your journey. And then I have friends of my own who have been in similar positions as you. You forget. I mean, like with anyone on social media, but I think especially people who have tragedies happen to them and make and like kind of brand themselves off of this tragedy. Like people forget that like you have other stuff that you're it's not just like my husband died and now like that's my life and I'm a widower. I mean, like, I mean, a pivot. That's so interesting that people said a pivot. It's like it's not like you were like, OK, and now I'm putting like my dead husband like in a box and we're not returning to that. And we're never going to talk about it again. It's just like, here's another facet of who I am. I think people forget
And it's been there, like the books that I've written
are hysterical.
And I think why like they're funny books and you know, Terrible Thanks for Asking is sad and also like has really natural moments of levity to it. I'm not like, God, how can I make this episode about a dead baby pop? Like, how can I make it it's not like that, but it's like all of these experiences contain more. And so what I did in this book too was like add some like depth to it and like some emotional weight to it because yes, it's a very funny story. It will make you pee your pants. And also like all of these women are carrying like the weight of being women in this world.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really true. It's funny. And I hope that you have like a pandemic themed book ahead for yourself. I mean, I'm just saying that's what I want. I think about this all the time in the situation that we're in right now, which is that, you know, historically, I would love to look back and just read. I hope that I don't want it to be me, but I hope someone is documenting this time, you know, in all of its different facets. Like, there's so much going on. And like, yeah, like, there's bread baking and there's Nintendo Switch and there's like Animal Crossing. And then there's also people dying and there's also grief. And there's also kind of dealing with this like trauma of waking up in your own house and understanding that you're lucky that you're alive and that you're safe, but also feeling like you cannot get out of bed because you're experiencing the trauma of the entire world around you. But then also tomorrow you might make like a recipe and it might be fun, but that doesn't negate the fact that like yesterday you couldn't get out of bed, and it doesn't make you bad and it doesn't make you good. And it's just like, yeah, I mean, people unfortunately are three-dimensional, and it is it's difficult to sort of capture all of that in one story. And so, you know, adding a fictional kind of like history of bad moms to your repertoire of work, I think will only enhance, you know, who you are to the world.
I hope so. And also because I love to, you know, like many women, I love to laugh.
Okay? Oh, love it.
I love to laugh. Yeah. What can I say?
Just me things. I love to laugh.
Just girly shit.
I love to laugh. Anyone else? Is that
if I was on Tinder right now, first thing, I love to laugh.
Laughing, travel. Don't talk to me before I have my
craft
coffee.
Beer,
yeah, right.
Foodie.
I love. Oh my God. I literally just looked down the clock. Veronica's going to kill me again. We didn't take a break. We're taking a break.
Shit. Sorry, Veronica. Sorry. Apologies.
And we're back. Oh my God. I'm literally supposed to do that like 8 minutes in, and it's been 21 minutes. I just get very into the conversations that I'm having. That's just me.
Sorry,
shit.
Advertisers.
That's just me.
It's just me stuff.
Okay. I am very excited to see what you brought. And I know that you had a few things in mind, and I'm just kind of like an anything goes type of gal. Bring it all out. Open your trench coat. Show me what you brought. You start with whatever you want to start with,
okay,
but like, you better sell it. I want this. Okay. I want whatever you're bringing to sell out, and we'll know if you are successful and maybe you have a job in sales in your future.
Okay. I definitely do not work in PR briefly, and I was so bad at it. I would lie about having called people. I'd be like, I called them. They're considering it. I never called.
I DM'd them. It's fine. They didn't get back to me.
Do you think I could call a stranger? No. And talk about something that I wrote the press release for? Hell no. Oh my God. Terrible. No. Okay.
Horrible.
So this is this. There's a story to this. Okay.
Okay.
Which is before I had any kind of like, you know, writing routine, and I really only do that if I'm on a deadline.
Right.
I was lucky to befriend another decent dude. Wow, there's so many showing up in this episode. Shocking. Okay.
Yeah.
But Aaron Mankey is like creator of the Lore podcast and all these other creepy historical podcasts. And I met him at a podcasting event. I don't do well in large group settings. Mm-hmm. I also was like very new. They did a meet and greet where I was next to Last Podcast on the Left. Literally no one wanted to meet or greet me. And the people from Last Podcast on the Left looked at me with like the sad kindness that you give someone when you like, you know that they're suffering, and you don't want to absorb their stuff. You don't want to in any way involve yourself in it. You don't want to say anything, but they
just
looked at me
acknowledging
like,
it.
You will be okay someday. But so I don't know why I was put in that situation, but I sat at a table alone for a long time. Mm. And then I found this dude standing on the edge of a party, and it turned out he was Aaron Mankey. And I was like, do you want to go get soup? I asked him if he wanted to go get some soup.
Sure.
It was cold. It felt like a soup night. He was like, absolutely. We sat and we ate soup together, and then we went back to our respective rooms. It was like 9 p.m. and that began our friendship. And I was like, he was just such a nice, normal dude. And the next day he was like, so tell me, like, how do you write? How do you make your podcast? Like, how do you, you know, write your books? Like, what is your routine like? And I was like, oh, I wake up around like whenever my child wakes me up. And then I walk him next door to daycare, and then I fuck around for a couple hours, and I might, and he's like, you need a routine. He's like, you need a routine. You need to be your own boss. And I was like, oh, okay. He was like, what do you use? What's your setup like? And I was like, well, I sit in my bed.
That's such a great question. Just like such a rich answer.
It's like memory foam. If I set my coffee far enough away, it won't tip over and
right.
spill.
Yeah, we've learned and, that. Yeah.
However, the stains on my mattress would tell you otherwise. So he had one recommendation. He was like, this is the thing that you need to get. And that day I went online and I bought them, even though they were multiple hundreds of dollars. I believe they were like $249 or something astronomical like that. And that represented to me at that point in my life, I would measure things in daycare units. So I was like, this is a week of daycare at the daycare place where my child went. So they are these Bose Quiet Comfort headphones, noise canceling. Uh-huh. They are lovely. They feel like the kind of headphones where you would take a hearing test as a child.
Yes.
Or if you were sitting in front of your Apple IIe and your teacher was making you go through a typing exercise, and she covered the keyboard with felt so you couldn't see your fingers, and if you peeked, she hit you lightly. You would be wearing these. Okay.
Sounds like we have something to explore in the next book.
These give my body a signal. Okay. They really do. Uh-huh. That when I put them on, they tell my body, you're working now.
Wow.
You're working now. Okay. I feel them on my ears and everything sort of like disappears. Mm-hmm. They also have an added benefit, which is that the noise canceling aspect of it means that I'm never listening to anything. Okay.
Oh, so you just sit in silence.
I sit in silence like a stone cold psychopath.
I was going to say a serial killer. Sure.
Like a serial killer. Right. I like the sound of nothing as I write. And so I have these on, and I don't even necessarily turn, when I turn on the noise canceling, oh my God, my brain is on. But more importantly, they send a signal to people around me that little tiny AirPods do not, which is, these are on. Don't talk to me. Don't tap me on the shoulder, children. Okay. Don't, you know, I'm not going to, yes, I'll obviously watch your stuff for you at a coffee. No, I'm going to let someone rob you, dummy.
Maybe I'm going to rob you.
Maybe I'm going to rob you.
Right. You don't know. Me? Right.
I'm a psycho. I'm not even listening to music in these. Okay.
Okay. Does your family know the signal of the wow? You have someone in your house just handing you coffee.
It's my mother-in-law. Mother-in-law.
That
this
is amazing.
Water.
Oh, okay.
It is water.
Good
which
for
is also
you.
This was a great purchase too. That you think this is a Yeti? No, it is not. It is the knockoff brand Arctic.
Okay.
R-T-I-C.
I don't drink water. An entirely different story. I'm chronically.
I also hate water.
Okay, we have so much in common.
I have to be handed it by a person who's like, I care about you. I'm like, oh, well, that's new. I don't care about myself.
Once had to get it intravenously put in my body. And I said to the nurse, and I think I've said this before because one of the episodes with Kate Spencer was about water. And I said to the nurse, what is this? I feel amazing. And it was fucking water. So
I would prefer an IV over ingesting water. There's just something so unpleasant about it. And
it's just put in. I know. I mean, another story altogether.
Another thing.
So does your family know when you have these headphones on that like you mean?
Know.
Okay, so this is like.
They know.
Everyone's
they
aware.
Know. They know. And on an airplane, I will also tell. Oh, God, I got a few things. I got a few things that are work-wise the best things that I've purchased.
Okay.
And this is one of them.
Okay. How much did they and do they still cost that much? Or is it like an iPhone?
They might have dropped now. They might have dropped now, but why would I do that? The due diligence piece. They also
no,
it's like they fold down, they come in this case, and it takes up a significant amount of space in your backpack, but it also it just feels good.
Yeah.
It feels good. And when I bring this out on an airplane, again, in a way that AirPods do not, this says I'm not here
right.
to make friends.
Right.
Okay.
I'm not a
here
bitch,
to make friends. I'm not here to make eye
to
contact. I am a bitch. More importantly, I also bought this privacy shield, and I got this at Best Buy.
I need one of those.
You do, because guess what? If I'm next to you on an airplane, I'm reading your emails. I'm reading your emails on an airplane. I have read somebody's whole performance report. Somebody's performance review was read by me, and I wanted to like tap them and be like, "You're missing a few commas." Also, I feel like this is slightly bad. You just don't like her, and it's coming across.
Have you
like,
heard of a compliment sandwich? Yeah, that is. Yeah. See, I want a privacy screen for me, but I want no one else to have one because I would like to continue to be able to read people's texts.
I have one on my phone too.
Wow.
Look at it.
It's
like I can't see.
This feels obvious, and it feels like it should be a part of like all. It should like 100%. Come with the phone.
It should. This one's very banged up because it is privacy glass, and if you drop your phone face down, which is my favorite way to do it, while it's tucked under, let me hold my cup like this because this. It's steel. Let me hold my $600 phone under my armpit while I'm wearing a sweater and walk. Like, what the hell is wrong with me?
Oh, totally. I love to, personally, one of my favorite things is to hold it above my face in the morning and then drop it on my face. That's
right here.
It's kind of like my favorite way to wake up.
And you know, I've done that to my baby too. So, child was in
the baby NICU. Known as baby.
He's also had pizza dropped on him, like nursing, eating pizza, being like, sorry. Ralph was in the NICU, and this is like 2013. So before, my dad did not believe in germs.
I didn't either until like 2 months ago. So I'm with you.
But they're like, no phones. You know, they're filthy. And my dad was like, what could be on my phone? Takes a picture of my sick ass baby in the NICU with a flash, then drops it. On him. Slightly larger than this phone.
No.
And we were like, Steve. And he's like, oh, yeah. Okay. Oh. Okay. Yeah. Like, that's going to be what you'll like, it might be, dude.
Holy shit. So when people say to him later, like, oh, were you dropped on your head as a kid? You're like, no, but an iPhone was dropped on mine.
Yes.
Right. I was ever personally dropped. Lots of things hit me on their way down. By my family. Wow. Yeah. Why? I was like, oh, so it's my fault. Oh, I just wanted a picture of my grandson.
So now I'm the jerk.
Yeah, right.
I'm the jerk. Okay. I'm here, aren't I? I'm here.
I came.
The nurse is like, will you phone in? He's like, God, for the God's sake.
Oh, man. I want that. You need to be. These are all moments I want in scenes in a movie that I watch someday. And I love
it. Thank you. Thank you. I have written one movie script. A long time ago, that was like an option of the first book I wrote.
Oh, wow.
And I got to work with, wow, this is just turning into like, let's talk, not about the products. Let's just talk about me. Things that I don't get to say. And,
but that's what we want. I mean, that's what people want. People want the products, but mostly people just want like, if you have any like secrets that you're harboring.
This is a secret. Cause I thought it would be like announced in some way. So I always felt like I wasn't supposed to talk about it. You know, I don't know. And then anyways, it didn't get made, but I did get to write it. And that was very fun. And I got to write that with under the mentorship of Susanna Grant, who wrote a lot of really good things, including Aaron Brockovich, which is what my husband Aaron used to call me every time I got like too into how he got cancer. I was like, hear me out. Well water. Okay. He's like, we did not have well water. I'm like, okay, I'll be back.
It's too bad he is not here to hear all the 5G conspiracies because it could have been 5G.
He would have been into it. And also, I cannot believe that he died before podcasting became huge because he was so fun. He would have beat Bobby and Lindsay to the punch with Who Weekly, and it would have been that's one of my favorite podcasts.
Me too.
Aaron Permort would have done it. He would have done it, and it would have been so fun.
I wonder if
celebrities and pop culture than anyone.
Maybe he's haunting Bobby and Lindsay. Maybe like if Bobby and Lindsay.
Might be.
I'm gonna ask you guys later, but if you're listening to this, if you have any like sort of like weird ghost stories that have happened specifically to you, I have a theory.
It's my dead husband.
I think that's so. Did he have a favorite celebrity at the time of his passing? Like, was there a
Taylor Swift?
What was happening with Taylor Swift when your husband died?
1989 had just come out.
Okay,
so 89 had just come out. Red was like our album. When I met Aaron, we'd bonded over Swift. Liking her was not yet cool, you know. And he was like, no, like she's cool. I was like, I agree, she is cool. And we were chatting on GChat. that was the era, mm-hmm. you know, like go to work, get on GChat, talk mm-hmm. to a guy you don't know really well. And we'd not yet met in real life. So I think we were probably DMing at this point on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I was like, I just got the People magazine of Taylor Tells All. And he was like, I'm dying to read it. I kept it in my purse thinking, if I ever run into this guy, I'm going to have this. Like a cool.
And that will seem very psycho. Normal. Oh, I was so just night, carrying this around.
The night, like, he's like, oh, are you going to go to this opening? You have this gallery opening. And I was like, yeah, I'm deep. But really, it's like this gallery was opening in my uncle's photo space of like 30 sure, years. Like sure. Minneapolis, like, you know, it's a pretty small city. And this art space was opening up, but my uncle had occupied it with his business for 30 years. It's like where we had Thanksgiving, where we had my grandma's wake. And like, it was just a big family space. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to be there. I want to see what they did with the space. And all my cousins and I are there because those are my only friends. And and this guy like walks up, breaks into this circle of my cousins and is like, are you Nora McInerney? And I was, oh my God, I love that sound. Say that again. and he's like, I'm Aaron. And I was like, I have something for you.
You guys can't see her, but she's literally miming taking the Taylor Swift issue out of her purse.
And I hand it to this guy. It's like, could go either way. And he opens it and he goes, looks up, holds it to his heart. And then we stand there and read it together.
And then that's your wedding.
And I still have that copy of that People magazine. I will have it forever. If I ever meet Taylor Swift, you better believe I will. I will, one, I will give her a lot of life guidance. And two, I will tell her that story. She will not care. It will be like she'll every care. Other story she's ever heard where she's like, you don't understand. I hear this. I get it. But as Aaron was dying, like literally dying, and he took his mom, who just brought me that water. He asked to borrow her Amex because we did not have the kind of credit that could get an Amex. And and Amex holders, Amex card holders got first dibs tickets to the Taylor tour, and he bought us tickets, and I forgot about that, and they showed up after he died, and I was like, what do I do? And I went, and it was so wonderful and beautiful, and I like cried my face off, and I was so excited for her, but also I could tell that she was like a little too thin and maybe it was getting to her, and then all of my suspicions were confirmed when I watched the documentary. I was like, I know this feeling, I know what you're doing here.
Yeah,
I get it. Thigh high boots are loose, FYI, they should not. So it was like this gift arrived after Aaron died. And so he was very into Taylor Swift in his obituary, that. Which is really like the root of all of my success.
Yeah, I love his obituary.
Like,
I know. I love it.
We were like, God, who should his first wife? Should it be Taylor Swift? Should it be, you know, Gwen Stefani? And we were like, okay, Taylor's too young. Like, it would sound disgusting.
Right, it would sound, right, like a little pervy. But Gwen feels normal, like more age-appropriate.
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 So we picked Gwen Stefani, even though we were like, oh, God. It's like, should we say? We were trying to, like, figure out a way to put that in. But again, like.
Just feel like Taylor, it's like almost like, you know, his life was cut too short for him to, like, leave you for Taylor. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, Gwen, then you.
Or to leave Taylor for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it just wouldn't have been, wouldn't have been possible. But
totally.
Gwen, yes, that would have made sense. And he also loved, and he, I'm sad that he doesn't get to be here to see, like, the comeback of Mandy Moore. Although, Mandy was never gone. And I want to talk about, and it's a weird site, but here's the thing. Mandy is like has worked so consistently since she became famous, and she has all these like mini sort of like pivots where it's like she was a VJ, all these things you don't even remember her doing until you really think about it. And liked her unironically, as did I. We owned the same CDs of Mandy Moore that no one else had, and we were like, no, she's like she's a singer, she's a person who knows music, like this is not a guilty pleasure. And we were like, that is something that we bonded over. Oh, did you listen to Wild Hope? He's like, I fucking loved Wild Hope.
This
you can't even get
so
Wild
happy.
Hope anymore.
You can't get Wild Hope. I know about Wild Hope, but I love Mandy Moore. I also love Mandy Moore. And I also love that she has somehow worked into her contract that she gets to sing in every movie that she's in. She has to sing a little bit of a song and in every movie. And also I knew when This Is Us came out that I was like, she's going to be some sort of like singer. And then they were like, oh yeah, like Mandy Moore's character sings in a bar. Yeah. I was like, obviously. It's in her contract.
Obviously.
I don't know that I, I don't know if we should talk about it on here because it's like, do we want to like go off into that tangent? But that makes me so happy because I think bonding over dumb stuff really is true love.
It really is. And it's like, I just had never met somebody who liked the same things, but also like wanted to talk about them in depth as if they were important and not just like, you know.
Yeah.
I just also had never like had a boyfriend who was like truly interested in me.
My husband and I met in the summer of 2014 because he had slid into my DMs. There's a whole long story before this. I matched on OkCupid, but it took us 3 years to actually like meet in a bar. And he was actually having drinks with Lindsay Weber, who was our mutual friend, but we had never, like, he was out with his friend, Lindsay, and I knew Lindsay, and I walked into the same bar, and she's like, this is Dan, and I know. And, but the way we bonded was we both loved Laguna Beach on MTV, and we could quote it. And one of the first things he said to me was, I was like, whoa, like Laguna Beach. Don't know how it came up, but he was like, oh my God, the black and white party where Kristen wears white, but Lauren and Elsie and Lo wear black. And I was like, I'm going to marry you. And then I did 5 years later. But like, yeah, like that. I've never heard another story about people meeting that is like, oh yeah, then we G-chatted about Taylor Swift for, you know, 5 hours as
forever.
One does. And I'm like, that is what I do. That's how it happens.
Yes. And also, I'd never been to a stadium show. Aaron took me to see Bruce Springsteen, took me to see Beyonce.
Whoa.
Wouldn't take me to see Taylor. Like, I got to go to all these things that I just never would have even, I don't know, like, I would have been like, well, you know, I don't know, should we spend money on that?
Right.
Like, he loved to spend money on it. he was like, I got us amazing tickets. And it was everything was so fun. And my current husband, he does not know. The internet is truly just a tool for him. Like, he's like, I will look up this specific thing and then leave the internet.
That's
and
so attractive. So he does not know what that's like.
I know. And he has all these interests that to me are like, so I love knowing that he's interested in stuff that I have no idea about. Like, he is like, oh yeah, like blah, blah, this band, I don't know cool bands, and Aaron did. And that was something that they had in common, but Aaron also liked pop music, could make an amazing mixtape. But Matthew's like, I'm like, I had never heard of Joy Division. I'm so sorry. Cool. I mean, I'd seen
Matthew's
a t-shirt.
Like, cool. Yeah, right. No, we've, right, exactly.
Yeah, obviously. I was like, yeah, it's a t-shirt. He's like, it's a little, like, you know, and he's like this encyclopedic knowledge of like, you know, like punk music and rock music and U.S. history.
I'm like, so he like, it's like he had all those placemats as a kid that like did all the presidents and then he like memorized them and now like, 30 years later, he still like pulls it out at parties and people are like, whoa, like he knows all the presidents.
Yeah. Oh no, he would never speak at a party.
No. Wow, I like him already. I don't know anyone like that. What, like, who are these people that don't talk? Well, I mean, like, that's, well then how did you guys meet? Like, what's your like shorthand origin story?
So Mo, who's the founder of the Hot Young Widows Club with me, Mo and I, Mo and I met because our husbands were dead. My husband, Aaron, was a fan of Mo's husband, Andy, because Andy was in a bunch of cool punk bands in Minneapolis that I'd never heard of and was kind of a fixture. Andy and Aaron never met. They are so similar. I feel like I miss Andy having never met him, and I feel like I love him. They also had the same dumb tattoos. When I say dumb tattoos, like, you would not believe how dumb of a tattoo they had. And Mo and I were sort of shoved together by the ladies at our coffee shop who were like, oh, Mo's husband's dead. You got to meet her.
Like, right. Like, right. Like, it's like when people are like, I know a gay guy. Like, do you want to meet?
Yeah.
Because you're gay.
Yeah.
And so like, oh, like, you guys could probably get married. Yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Right. So they're like,
and Mo and I were like, would rather not. So we became friends and it was like, cute, immediate. Like it truly was like, oh, this person who I have so little in common with, like, I have tattoos now, but Mo looks like Jon Bon Jovi in the 80s, like a hot dude. Big hair,
very
tight,
cool,
skinny, scrawny bod. Okay. Naturally just one of those scrawny bodies. Everything she wears like looks cool. She like cuts it. I cut a t-shirt, people are like, what happened?
What are you, okay? And like, right, and she looks cool.
She looks so cool all the time. And I look, not today, but like on a good day, I do look like I could be in a Land's End model, like or a J. Crew outlet model, like J. Crew factory, possibly. Like on a good day, if I wash my hair, like. So we do not like, we just are very different people. But Mo was, I didn't want to fall in love with someone. I definitely wanted to have sex with somebody, but like not anything serious. And Mo, I was at this point, it was about a year after Aaron died, and I was like touring other cities. Like I had spent this entire year on the go. I spent a lot of time where I am now in Phoenix with Aaron's family. I spent a lot of time in like the Bay Area with my best friend, Dave. Anywhere I knew somebody, I'd brought my child and been like, what do you think about this? Should we move here? I got to be somewhere else. And Mo trapped me. Mo sneakily, she trapped me. Okay. She had a fire, which I love. I love burning stuff. Okay. You want to catch my attention? Light a fire. I'll just throw stuff in it. I love fire. And this guy shows up and it turns out he's there. He doesn't even know why he's there. And he sits the whole night, by the whole night, I mean till like 10 p.m., but he listens to Mo and I just talk about our dead husbands. And then I like look up and like, so like, what's your, like, when did your wife die? And he's like, oh, I'm divorced. And I'm like, what? Oh my God. That's so fucked up. Yeah. Oh my God.
And you were like, but I'm into it.
He's like, how are you? Like, I was just like, oh my God, our husbands died, but your wife didn't love you anymore.
Right.
That's bonkers.
Right. I still have the unblemished, perfect wife, but you did something that was really bad. You're a bad person.
Yeah, you're unlovable at your core. Like, I was just... Which is like the opposite of his experience, true. Like, and he was so, like, you know, and nobody, by the way, in his life had asked him what happened. I mean, people knew because they had, you know, people knew.
Right.
People knew happened.
There's some talk.
There was some talk, but no one had asked him, like, dude, are you okay? Like, or, and like, wait, when did all that, like, and I asked him everything. I was like, wait, then, oh my God, then what?
Oh, right. Let me just see your email. Let me just check.
Yeah.
Right. Do you want to send me a screenshot? Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm just trying to say. Oh my God. I love it.
It was amazing. And he had two kids and I wasn't like, it's not like I was like, oh, like, yeah, I want to make up with this Jew. I was like, I just want to see this guy again.
Right.
And then we went on one date and I was like, oh shit. Damn it. Now I'm stuck here. I'm just stuck here. I know it with this guy. Damn it. And like, I don't know. We were trapped together. It was a meet cute, a forced meet cute.
Right.
And I do tell everyone, I'm like, find someone, you know, used. Why buy new and slightly used will do. Find a widow, find a divorcee, find someone who has been through, like, you are not as shiny as you think you
are. Yeah,
and
yeah,
so
yeah.
When people are like, oh, I don't want a divorcee. I'm like, you think I would have picked a 5'10" divorced, bankrupt dad? No.
The heart wants what it wants.
I would have swiped whatever is no. I would have been like, no, 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 yeah. No, 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 no. And
it's so true.
Like, he's not Aaron at all. Like, but he's not supposed to be.
It sounds so like, but he's Nazi. He's his own person. But like,
yeah.
But it just proved like we are all. There is no like one person
right.
for all. I mean, I know like mm-mm. once I murder Dan and like you know stuff his body in some sort of dumpster
yeah.
and I move on to husband number two. No, but I mean like yeah, like we're all just there's many there's a whole sea of divorced and widowed fish.
Yes, and you got to go scoop them up.
Right.
Scoop up those.
With your
scoop
net.
Up those. Yeah, I'm like, sometimes because we do have a rescue dog, like we refer to each other, we're like, this is my rescue husband. Or it's like, this is my rescue wife.
I love like, that. Oh my God, that's cute. Why do you make sound being widowed so appealing? Like, I get that. Like, it's just like, you've done a really good job at taking your pain and making it really palatable. And yeah. I follow Hot Young Widows Club and I read everybody's like stories
yeah.
and like every week I'm like so
it'll
depressed
kill,
yeah. and I'm like, why do I follow this? But I will never unfollow because I
yeah.
love the stories so much.
Yeah. It's not all like I also always follow that too. But it's It's more like, I mean, that there are a lot of dark parts, and there still are. Yeah. Two nights ago, I had this like wild dream where like Aaron came back, you know, and I never get to see him in dreams. Like I always have dreams where I almost see him, yeah. and then but he was there, and I got to like hug him, and I got to like just be there, and then I was like, oh shit, I'm married. I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't know that this was going to happen. He was like, no. Like, it's good. It's good. Like, you did good. And I was like, oh. And I'm like, maybe I just really needed to, like, hear that again. Because I don't think that there will ever be a day. And it's only been 5 years. And I'm only 37. And I don't think that there will ever be a day when that's not, like, on my mind. You know? Like, and part of it is because we do have a child together. So I see Aaron coming through in this kid wow. who has his exact same
I'm
face.
I'm literally sitting here like, crying. That's like, yeah.
You know, and that first year especially was like so dark, and I just didn't know how to, and that's why I like encourage other people to sign up and share their story on Hot Young Widows Club, because it's so hard yeah. to just be like, no, this is really dark, and I don't even know how dark it is, because I've acclimated. Yeah. I can see my hand in front of my face, so no one even knows how hard this is. Mm-hmm. And it's so disorienting. And Aaron was the most fun person in the world ever. If I had died, he would have done something cooler and funnier and better, and like also would have married someone extremely hot. Like, good. Imagine.
What would you do if you came back to him and his, what would you have said? You know what I mean?
Like, I'd have been like, how dare you? Actually, so we used to talk because when my dad was dying, he was on an accelerated timeline. So Aaron was dying first. Then my dad got sick and he was dying, and he used to make all these jokes about my mom being on Match.com. And my mom he's like, I saw your mom's Match.com profile. She's going to need some help. And my mom would be like, I'm not. And we're like, Mom, we know. It's Dad's fucking with you. But Aaron and I used to talk about that as if, like, we always talked about everything as if either one of us could go, you know, at any moment, even though, like, we knew. And I remember him being like, you know, no, I would want you, like, you know. No, I just don't date like a lame dad. Like, don't date a dude who wears cargo pants. Like, don't date a dude who wears like, you know, sandals. Okay, like sweatpants. Aaron was anti sweatpants. He was like, just, you know, don't be an idiot. And I was like, if I die, you have to date someone who's at least my height. If you date a person shorter than me, and I find out, I'll haunt the fuck out of
it's
you.
Personally
okay, like
offensive.
You are 6'4". If you're with someone under 6 feet, you're a goner. Do not. But I also want her to be not as pretty as me or funny. So mm-hmm. she has to be a boring tall girl.
Boring, sort of ugly, no jokes. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that I would be the less generous partner in this.
Petty ghost.
Fair. You died. Yeah. You get to be petty. Yeah. I mean, like, really? I mean, you know, I get it. Aaron's really selfless and is like happy for you, whatever. But like, that's not the, you know, that's not the rule.
That's not me.
That's the exception. I want petty ghost only. Just petty ghost things. You know? Like, just hot, dead people things. It's truly, like, I would never... I always think about that when I read these the Hot Young Widows of the Week, and I'm, like, sitting at on my couch crying, being like, why am I doing this to myself? But I always wonder, you know, do those conversations mm-hmm. happen when you know, especially with the people who have that time to prepare and to say goodbye yeah. and to sort of tie things up. And just, I love that you guys equally got to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, cause it's true. You could have just walked out of the hospital and like ran into traffic and.
Yeah. I wanted to.
Stolen the spotlight. Yeah. I bet you did.
I wanted to.
I bet you
thought
did.
About it. I'd be like, you know, oh, I'd be driving home and I'd be like, or I remember one time we got sent on a honeymoon and we had our baby with us. And we were in this little like puddle jumper. And I was like, wouldn't it be great if we just crashed right now and we all died at the same time? And he was like, what the fuck? Don't ever say that. And I was like, oh, no, God, no. I didn't mean
it's
that
it's like a
at
joke.
All.
Yeah. And it's like, no, do you have to do like a psych hold? He's like, I have a lot going on right now. Like, maybe you could just keep it together.
Could you not say that while holding our baby in your lap?
He's like, give me the kid. He's like, all right, just hand over the baby. We're going to be fine. I skipped the second break. This is like, just going to be disaster editing.
It's all for the Patriots. This is all for the Patriots.
We're just going to scrap it all and put it behind the paywall. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to be back.
Hold up. Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And we're back, but like we're literally like 55 minutes. This is gonna be like the first like 7 hour episode. We're just doing like a marathon.
You know what? If Joe Rogan can do it, you can too.
That is actually tattooed on my body. If in all things Joe Rogan, I can. on my breasts. What I love about the headphones, too, is that...
Oh, yeah, back to the
what I love about the headphones, too, is that I think, you know, the Bose ones are obviously, like, they're Bose, right? They're not Beats. They're Bose. Mm-hmm.
They're Bose.
Expensive.
I did not want to look cool. No. I want to look like a dab.
You want to look like a dab. You really do want the big... And this was also, I assume, pre-AirPods.
Oh, it's... AirPods is true. But even if I would have chosen these ones, because I don't like the feeling of something in my ear. I'm wearing something in my ear right now, but yeah. I like it over. I like a head hug.
I like that in the winter. And when I lived in New York, that was sort of like a cold weather accessory for me. I like my AirPods, but there are a few things that I don't like, which is like even the other day I went on a hike and then I was like removing. I like was putting back on my mask as like I could see someone in the distance.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what you do now. And as I'm like strapping it around my ear, the AirPod falls out and the people are getting closer. And I'm like on the like looking around. They're like, it's in front of you, but I can't hear them because my other AirPod's still like in front of you. But they can't get too close and they can't pick it up for me. And it was just horrible. But the thing about the AirPods that I hate is that like you think a big headphone makes you look like a psycho. You look like you're talking to yourself all day long. I have my hair in front of my ears and I'm like on the phone with my mom being like, Mom, yeah. People are like, even before we were not supposed to walk near other people, people were like avoiding me on the street.
Honestly, and nothing. One, I try not to use any headphones for phone calls because I just like that. I like an old-fashioned Real Housewives speakerphone holding as a tray in
Bethany,
front of your mouth.
Bethany. Yeah. Right, exactly.
Okay, first of all. but because, like, so pre-AirPods, like, I would go to airports, remember those, and there were always, like, these fucking dudes shouting into their Bluetooth headset, being like, yeah, we got to close that deal.
Right.
Yeah, Bill. Yep.
We got the big account. We're going to land it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I told her. That's exactly what I told her. It's exactly what I told her. Exactly what I said.
Right.
Yeah.
With the little like belt clip for the phone.
Phone holster.
You do look like a big old dad with that girl look.
I'm like, you're all shouting. You're all shouting. This is where your voice needs to be. Right. This is where your voice is. Like, shut the fuck up. Right. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Bill?
Yeah.
I need you.
I'm so excited about your deal. Let's take it to a three.
Yeah. Also, people will say anything into their headphones as if no one else can hear them. And rich people are bananas. I'm like, ma'am, I know everything about, I know where you live now. Like, I know your address and I know like your front door code, you dumb fuck. Like, what is wrong with you?
She's like, yelling at the help.
You are divulging so many personal details. Or I've been in like one airport lounge in my life. People were just like shouting again, personal information, professional information. I was like, get a screen cover on your goddamn laptop
or
lower your voice
or put it on speaker so I can hear the whole conversation.
Like, also, when people dictate text messages out loud, I'm like, who are you? Are you Sonia Morgan?
Oh my God.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Is it about Tom? Period. Like, is it? Okay, here's the thing though. My mother dictates messages and I always know when she's dictating them because they don't come in clear, you know, like everything's like spelled wrong and like there's like a weird, you have to go back and edit your work. I dictate into my phone but not in public.
That's my big secret. You know, young people now, because I know several Zennials and Zoomers, they will send just voice memos. I can't figure out how to send it, my thumb keeps slipping and it's only so far I can send it. It's so pathetic.
I only send them
for like
Yeah, I only send them when it's like, it's like not, I don't mean to. It's like I've sent like a 2 minute thing of like me yelling at like a cat in my house and everyone's like, oh, is that like a butt dial? And I'm like, but then my, I have a group text with friends who like exclusively only send in voice memo. And I'm like, I'm in a, I need to be able to read. Like if I wanted to talk to you, I'd pick up the phone. Now I have to like hold the phone to my ear and they're like, yeah, that sounds good. And I'm like, you couldn't type that? Like, what, are you like hiding a paper trail? Like what, you know what I mean? Like, okay, 2 p.m. And I'm like, what is this? It feels so weird. And we're not Xennials. Like, we're too old for to be like,
no,
yeah.
I'm a senior millennial.
Right.
I'm a senior millennial. I'm right at that, right at the top of the millennial
stream. Yeah, what do they say about, I had my own laptop in college, but it also weighed 600 pounds and you needed an Ethernet cable. So I don't know where that makes me fall, but I'm almost 33. Yes. So I feel like I'm like,
you're a solid millennial. I'm 37.
Okay,
I'm
so you're at the other
senior millennial. Okay. You are like eight. You are like creme de la creme.
Okay,
millennial.
You're geriatric, like you and I'm awesome.
Yeah.
So you're,
I'm the kind of millennial they almost don't care about anymore, except that we've had enough children that they're like, well,
they just start throwing you into the boomer market. They're not advertising to you anymore. But that's also, I feel that the same way with me. Like all the things that I'm, that's why I always think it's so funny when people are like, oh my God, like low-rise jeans are coming back. And I'm like, do you think my mother, like when I was wearing low-rise jeans was also like, oh, I guess I need to wear low-rise jeans? Like, no, like they're not coming back for us. Like this is for a teenager. Like no one's talking to you. Like everyone's like, oh my God, I can't believe low-rise jeans are coming back. I'm like, we're 35. Like no,
they're
one
not.
Is, they're not coming back. Like
not,
we're
no
not
one,
going to Abercrombie and Fitch. Like
no, we are. We are in. We are almost like our bodies are invisible at this point. Like you do not need to care. Which is like also I remember being a teenage lifeguard. Which
hot.
I mean, I was like I was so tan. I know it does not look as if I could get tan. So much sun damage.
Yep.
So much. I mean,
I
what
love
were,
tanning.
What, oh my God. I was like, I have to go lay out and like pull my swimsuit lines down because it was this color and then it was like a different color. Anyways, I remember seeing any woman over the age of like 30 at the pool and being like, sad. Oh, sad.
Oh, her life must be so sad. Boring.
Oh my God, her belly button doesn't even pierce. Sad.
She's not even wearing like a choker. Right. She's wearing, oh my God, she's putting on sunscreen. LOL. Like, oh, loser.
Oh my God, sad. She's like wearing a swim skirt. Oh my God.
She's wearing a one piece. And now it's like, right, like I was wearing some like string bikini with like a Hawaiian flower situation. I'm being like, I'm the hottest shit going right now.
I'm wearing tanning stickers.
So. I was going to say, did you have the Playboy bunny sticker on your pelvis?
Oh God, no. My parents would have like never seen my body. By the way, my dad would be like, if I got out of the shower, he'd be like, put on it, your pajamas and then a robe. Like we were at anti-nudist. Like never, I don't think I saw my dad's bare chest except once when he was trying to even out his golf tan in the backyard. And I thought he was wearing a white t-shirt. It was his flesh. But I had the dolphin on, obviously. Because
I
was from Minnesota. So mm-hmm. I fucking love dolphins. It's like they, I just,
what does that mean? Is that like a thing? I love that. Yeah, you're like, I'm just like, I'm really into nature.
Yeah.
I'm just like I'm just Midwest girl things, dolphins.
But like, you know, like beach life is best life. I love to go to the lake where the sand is extremely gritty, high grit.
It's literal
it's like
dirt.
Gardening sand.
I used to put the little heart. My mom once famously found a receipt for my unlimited tanning package and I got grounded. She was like, I'm not paying for your college education if you have $200 to throw around willy-nilly at beach bum tanning. And I used to, I have an Irish skin. My father's Jewish, but I inherited like no olive, like Sephardic anything. Like my husband often wordlessly will take off his watch and just like show me his tan. And I'm like, okay, great. Like good for you.
Cool.
Meanwhile, I'm like, am I tan? And then, but I'm just red or like sort of purple. There are so many pictures and I will put one on the G-Thanks site so you guys can see. But like, I was maroon. Like I was, and I thought I looked so
good.
And also a thing that I learned from Laguna Beach was the first time I ever saw anyone go tanning was watching Laguna Beach and they would, because they were being filmed, go in with their bathing suits on. So I thought that's how you did it. So I
so
would just
I.
go tanning
so
in my bathing suit. And then be like, I can't believe these lines. It's like, you go in naked.
Yeah.
You fucking moron.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh yeah, sunscreen. Like, and now I will never go. I like go outside in like a hazmat suit, a hat, SPF 100 every 15 minutes.
Hasn't arrived yet, and yeah. That's why I couldn't talk about it because I don't have it. But I bought what basically looks like a hazmat shield, but it's UV.
Oh, wow.
And it's by a company called sungrubbies.com. Sure. I did not buy. And they emailed me and they said, thank you for your purchase because we are a small family run company.
I love that.
Believes it. I was like, absolutely. I bought three. Having not even experienced one, I bought one for me, one for my sister-in-law, one for my mother-in-law. Oh my think I'm going to let the sun touch this?
You
no.
Yeah. You're going to go up to those lifeguards at the pool and be like,
I'm going
to
look bananas. I'm going to look bonkers. People here, like, you know, I'm the only one wearing like, not the only one, but like, you know, I'm wearing a face mask and sunglasses and a hat outside. Yeah. I look like the Invisible Man.
Yeah. I think, you know what though? It's like, do you think, have we done too much damage? Like, my mom was a lifeguard for her whole life. And you know, that was the time of like literally putting oil all over yourself.
Yes.
And it's like, she's so careful now, but like, is it too late for us? Old ass 30 somethings, sad, old, decrepit 30-year-olds. Like, should I not have been hanging out in the diamond booth before my day at the beach just to prep
we should
my
not
skin?
Have been. Oh my God, just to get a base.
Just to get a base, right? The base. The base is like BS, but I really hung on to that. I was like, it's for my base.
I need a base tan.
It's so I don't burn when I'm outside. Makes no sense. Logic's not there. Didn't totally pass science. But
then I would sometimes get, like, now as an adult, I will sometimes get a base spray tan before I go somewhere.
Absolutely.
Because I'm like, well, it's just a base.
But then you smell like junior prom. Like, every time I smell a spray tan, I'm like, I smell like specific girls in my grade. I'm like, oh my God, it's Christina. like the memory comes back to me. You could smell that, like, you know, Australian gold or like hemp's body tan from a mile away in the school gym.
Oh yeah.
But those girls look so good. Now being pale is cool.
Now being pale is cool. And yet I still think it looks better to not be pale.
Oh no, definitely.
I mean, but yeah, like my niece, our daughter, they like, I don't know. I don't know if we slathered them with sunscreen when they're little kids, but now they're like a little gothy and I'm like, no, you need it. And also I'm like, please put it here. And they're like, ew, like, rub it on your boobs. You want old boobs? And like, so now their impression of me is, do you want old boobs?
Yeah. Okay. Show them pictures of like, I don't know, my knees. Like, I'm going to be like, look, it doesn't matter how good your face looks. Like how, like the knees are a dead giveaway. And I'll prove it to you with my 32-year-old knees that look like I stole them from the grave of the elderly. Because if you only saw a picture of my knees, like counting the rings of trees, you would think I was like 79 years old. You would think I had lived a full life and had like a multitude of family underneath me, but it is just because I stood in the goddamn booth thinking like I'm the hottest shit alive, and now I pay for it because I will never attract anyone with my knees unless you're into that. But show them what that your cleavage can look like.
I try. I'm like,
teens. I mean, yeah, but it's, you know, you had a dolphin sticker. Like, we all, it's our cross to bear. It is our cross to bear.
It is. I know.
I feel like I could do this forever, but I feel like you also have a life to get back to. But
oh my God, that's such a gracious goodbye.
This was so much fun. But I also
bye.
But I also like want to say that I think that even if you don't buy the like super expensive Bose headphones.
Yeah.
I think like the recommendation that you're coming to with also says something that I never thought of before, which is like you know, whatever you're doing, like signals to other people. Like, you know, you don't have to be like, hi, I'm working or like, hi, I'm doing this thing.
Yeah.
But like a big noise canceling headphone over your ears, whether it costs you $20 or $200, does sort of send that signal that like serious work is being done here, or at least don't talk to me. And I feel like if you can train your family to also understand that that's what's happening, like, you know, I don't know why you haven't written more books, honestly. It just feels like you figured it all out. Well, you're the second person. You and Ellen Hildebrand were both like, my writing routine, it begins with the gym. And I'm like, well, I guess that's it for me. No more books here. Well,
but also no more gym.
Oh, okay.
Who knows what?
Never, no more books.
Never going back. Like, you think I'm going to breathe in a room of a bunch of people ever again?
That's very weird though, when people are like, when do we get to go back in the gym? It's like literally the one thing they're telling us not to do is like emit body fluid in a closed space. You're never going back to the gym.
You're never going to, or if you are, like, RIP.
What are you doing to work out now? Like,
Nothing.
Oh, okay, cool.
I go on walks.
Yeah, me too. I love that.
And walks, and also like we've been moving, so I'm like packing, unpacking, standing up, sitting down, and then I do a whole 5 minutes of yoga, which is about as much as I ever want to do. So
I love that. I love child's pose. That's one of my favorites. Yeah, and no other poses.
Yeah, that's. I do a bunch of hip stuff because from sitting all day. But yeah, I go for a walk, and that's basically it.
I think
and
that's amazing.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Sometimes I reach up to the top cabinet and do that little stretch and get my chips. Put my chips up high. That way I get that like big arm, you know, I'm just
mobility.
Doing it.
Right. It's about the mobility.
It's about the mobility, right? With my old ass knees that also, by the way, not only look horrible, but crack when I sit down to pee. Like, it's not even like a full squat. I just sit down to pee and it's like you hear the shattering of bone. It is so sad. I used to do ballet as a kid, and even as a kid, my teacher would like scream at me. I'm like, I don't know what you want me to do. Like, I'm not in control of these bones. Like,
sorry. That if I walk up a flight of stairs, like the kid's like, ugh, what's that sound? I'm like, that's my body. So thank you. Enjoy your joints while you still have them.
Yeah, right. Okay. Don't call me crying when you're 25 because this shit is genetic.
You got crunchy knees and old boobs. Okay.
Nora, I'm so happy you came on this podcast. Oh, this is such a joy. It's probably, I can't wait to listen back and be like, what the fuck,
people? I'm so sorry. No, I apologize to every listener.
I love it so much.
Every listener. Go buy Bad Moms.
Buy Bad Moms.
Buy it at subtextbooks.com. I'll give you the link. Here's my goal for this year.
Tell me.
I don't make goals, but like, there's a bookstore in St. Paul, Minnesota. It's itty bitty. They are one of my favorite bookstores in the world. They've been like such a good partner to me since before they needed to be. Mm-hmm. And my goal is to sell so many copies of Bad Moms through them that it just pays their bills for the rest of the year.
Because
I don't think we're open in bookstores. Okay. I don't think we're doing that.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to have to. And I'm signing a bunch of book plates. So is my kid. Because he likes to plagiarize my signature now. He used to sign his own name. Now he signs mine.
That will work well for him. I did that in high school too. Good luck. So tell me the name of the bookstore again.
It's Subtext Books.
Subtext Books in St. Paul.
Yeah.
I'm looking it up right now.
They have a whole link of just my books.
Oh, man. Wow. I love it. I love it. And my favorite indie is Amherst Books. And I always say to authors, like when you come on and you want to talk about your books, like please shout out your favorite independent bookstore.
Yeah.
So Subtext Books is Nora's. And I assume you do not have to be in Minnesota to order.
They will ship it anywhere. They will ship it anywhere. And if you're like, oh my God, but it's just like, oh, I just really want something now. Buy it at Target. Buy it at Barnes & Noble. Like it just, you know, anything but Amazon is all I can tell you.
I know. Amazon's hard. We do a lot of Amazon here. I know that it's accessible for a lot of people. And I know that right now is like a very hard time. And when you need something, you need something. But if it's a thing that you can buy in an independent store and that independent store is like bending over backwards to make coronavirus like work for their business and to like help you, the customer, like just do it. Like it's so much
and
fun.
If they're treating their employees well and paying them well. And
that's
like,
important.
You know? Yeah. So, but I'm not really here to preach to people except that I am. So
except here we are. Well, I'm ordering it right now, Bad Moms. And also I really want Bad Moms for me, the book, to be a basis for all of the books that I write now based on my favorite movie.
Yes, you
have to. I want to see more of that.
Same. I got you to do the audiobook too. They usually hire actors, but maybe I'm an actor now.
Wow.
I don't know.
Oh my God, actor/model/influencer/old ass millennial. I love it.
slash crunchy knee.
That's crunchy knee owner. Yeah. Wait, and slash listening to nothing on my massive headphones wearing person.
Yeah, psychopath.
Can I ask you a question, though? Because what other books came after the movies? Do you know?
I don't know.
I need a list. I need to know. I'm literally shocked because I was like, I can't believe Bad Moms was a book first and I didn't know. And then I was like, what? It wasn't?
I don't know. Insane. I don't know. I think that they used to, maybe a long time ago, the sort of pulp era of publishing.
Yeah, the old
novelized movies and TV shows.
Yeah.
But I think
feels different. Yeah. I mean, like, I remember, right. Actually, no. I remember some of my favorite books as a kid were the Full House, like, Stephanie books, where it was, like, just, like, Stephanie just, like, getting into, like, some...
Yeah.
And, yeah, you're right. And it's, like, Mary-Kate and Ashley and... And, like, Sweet Valley High was books first. But then it was, like... But then there was, like, a lot of back and forth. But I love the idea of taking a thing that you love and that you already have in your mind and building a rich history around it. And you've done that with Bad Moms.
So yeah.
I will be ordering Bad Moms from Subtext Books. I hope you guys will join me. Let's get their bills paid.
I want their bills paid for the rest of the year.
The rest of the year and maybe even 2020. Let's just do it till 2030. Order 100 copies of Bad Moms. You can also order any book from Subtext Books. She's biased, but you don't have to order, you know, just an Aura book. So do a little shopping.
I ordered today. I had them. You can email them. I email them anytime something looks interesting to me. I'm like, I'd like to order this book, please. And then they just keep, they let me keep emailing them. And then when I hit a certain number, they just send them to me.
Oh, man, I love that.
Yeah.
They literally have like a dedicated employee just dealing with you.
Just to handle all my demands. Sorry, you tried to say goodbye to me.
No. I was actually going to say, if you wouldn't mind staying on the line after I stop recording, because I want to tell you something and I can't and I can't say it on live. But if you made it this far in the episode, congratulations. That is an hour and 15 minutes of your precious time as well. This was so much fun. I feel drunk off of
so do I. That's great.
This is crazy. I just feel wild. And are we on the same time zone? Is it 10:35 where you are too?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I love it. Awesome. Yeah. Cool. Yes. PST or PDT, whatever they call it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Buy Bad Moms at Subtext Books. You can follow G Thanks Just Bought It on Instagram. That's G Thanks Just Bought It Pod. You can follow Nora at Nora Borealis. And also Hot Young Widows Club. If you're just, you know, if the news is just too great right now and you just need something to cry to or just want to add another, you know, sesh to your crying moments, I really recommend following along and reading all of these stories. All of them really touch me, and this has just been such an incredible episode. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. Bye, everyone.
Bye.